KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
This is Candidate Spotlight, our look at the City Commission candidates one-on-one here with KVUA News. And Aaron Larson joins us here this morning. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're doing good so far here. First off, how has the campaign gone here for the early stages of the effort with the general election now about a month out?
It's good. It's good. I started back in July, just kind of making my Facebook pages and my social media pages and whatnot. And then recently, this last weekend, I went ahead and put out yard signs to everyone who wanted them. So if you want a yard sign, reach out to me. But it's going really well. Starting to get a lot of community forums under my belt. And so there's a lot of my takes and my opinions out there.
Good deal. What got you interested in running? Everybody has their own kind of reasons for that, but what got you interested?
Yeah, so I was born and raised here in Emporia, and I've lived here all my life. But my generation and kind of the younger generation, the general theme is that we're kind of counting down the days until we can leave Emporia, right? You go to ESU, you get your degree, and then you're looking for jobs in Kansas City, Wichita, Lawrence, Manhattan, Topeka, wherever, maybe even out of state. So I kind of want to change that rhetoric for the younger generation. I want to give the younger generation a reason to stick around here, or if they do have to move away for a career opportunity, at least count down the days until they can come back. And that's really the biggest reason why I decided to run, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Talk about your work background. Talk about family, things like that.
Yeah. So I got a wife, and we live just on Oak Street here in the heart of town, just a nice brisk walk away from Main Street. For the last about 6 years, I started my career at I graduated from ESU in 2019 with my master's degree in business administration. Right out of that, I started working for a small business here in town called Midwest Evaluation and Research. It's a small business, federal contracting business here in Emporia, and we served clients across the country. That was really interesting to get involved with. In 2019, I served on a project that evaluated the efficacy of the child support service program under DCF here in the state. And so I got kind of an inside look at the inner workings of a state department and how they work with the different local municipalities. So that was a really cool experience. Fast forward a couple years in that position, we grew significantly. I became the CFO of the organization, managed multi-million-dollar federal budgets, managed a multi-million-dollar operational budget for our business. And on the side of that, I also served as a federal contractor to one of our housing and urban development contracts. So Department of HUD, if you're familiar with the federal alphabet soup. Really cool project that we were a part of. I was able to go across the nation and serve communities that had a population of less than 50,000 people. And we really just focused on any issue that they were dealing with. We provided them general technical assistance. One example I'll give is a small town out in Mississippi, Anguilla, Mississippi. They were dealing with water meter issues where they actually couldn't charge their residents correctly because their water meters couldn't be read correctly. So we put them on a plan to improve their water meter and their water infrastructure so that they could properly generate revenue for the city. That's just one example of one of the many engagements that I had, but it really created this unique blend of experience with me living here and understanding the significance of Emporia and all the personalities that kind of intertwine when you're getting into city politics, but also having the experience from other cities and seeing how they kind of address similar issues that Emporia is facing.
Aaron Larson joining us. We get ready for our candidate spotlight. Actually, we're into it now, but we get ready for the official questions now. And we're going to be, for those of you who missed our first program here earlier this hour, we're going to be basically focusing on three overall topics. We'll have really city economic direction, we'll have housing, and we'll also have the 0.5% sales tax, which has been at least discussed as a possibility, and that is a new 0.5% sales tax for the city. We'll start here, and this is going to be the general flow, as we'll start here with economic direction, then we'll go into housing, and then that sales tax question. And I wanted to start here, Aaron, on property taxes, because, you know, we're recently through the budgeting process here for the city of Emporia, basically all taxing entities, just getting through that. A lot of conversation and a lot of concerns early in the process, late in the process, as usual, that property taxes are too high, and especially in comparison with other cities the size of Emporia or close to that. Why do you see the property taxes as being as high as they are here locally?
So it's a variety of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is just increased cost of maintaining infrastructure. And this isn't a problem that's just specific to Emporia. A lot of other small towns, especially in the Midwest, are dealing with this, and it's really just due to urban sprawl. It's inefficient development for suburban areas and increasing scope of a city's limits that creates large infrastructure that needs maintained over multiple years. And unfortunately, the generations that put that in place, that put that into motion, we're starting to pay for that, right? Decades down the line. So it's just an increasing cost in maintaining infrastructure is really the biggest thing.
One of the things the city had floated earlier this summer was a possibility of a joint task force involving Lyon County, USD 253, Emporia Public Schools, and the Emporia Recreation Commission. Is that something that you felt was a good step?
Yeah. I think even just starting the discussion is a fantastic step. Where it goes from there, it might end up in nothing. It might end up actually saving a ton of taxes for our residents. Regardless, it's the perfect next step is just getting everyone, all of the taxing entities together in a room and having that discussion. That's the first step, and it's a great step.
Were you a little concerned here that, at least to this point, Lyon County Commission, Emporia School District, and the Rec Commission have pretty much tabled it, and they really haven't moved at all on that topic here over the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think that it's just a matter of priority. I know the Rec Commission is dealing with the possibility of, planning and presenting their new rec facility, and they don't want to derail that for the second time. I know the county's dealing with a lot. I just think that there is a lot on their plate. There's a lot of priorities, and nothing was really going to get solved now, right now, in the immediate future. Now, that's a discussion that I think should come up again next year.
Understood. Now, Aaron, when it comes to how the city can reduce its property tax burden now, with those discussions pending, what ideas do you have here for the city to reduce property taxes to at least what I think a lot of our residents would consider a more manageable level? Or are we at a point now where, given the outlays that we have, that this is kind of a point where you have to hold steady on the property taxes, at least from what we have at the city side of things, the city's component of it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. It's not that we can't take away infrastructure that's already in place. You can't take away a road in front of someone's house that already exists. So we have to maintain that infrastructure. I think what we can do to kind of mitigate further increasing property taxes is looking at smart housing developments and smart urban developments, right? We should not be sprawling our infrastructure even further past the city limits that we're already at capacity for.
Aaron Larson again joining us for Candidate Spotlight here in Emporia City Commission on KVUE and KVUE.com. Let's shift over here to the RDA. Obviously, there's been a ton of headlines, pretty scattered over the last 15 months or so, about the RDA and its inner workings that have been publicized. But I wanted to start with, I think, the couple of elephants in the room, and one of which happens to be the president, which is still, at this point in time, no decision yet on a permanent president yet. Do you think that the process is at a reasonable spot, given the fact that this has been, on one side, open for about 18 months, and on the other side, you had the restructuring that took place earlier this springtime?
Yeah, so this is a topic that I'm pretty passionate about. I served on the Economic Development Task Force back in 2023 that kind of set the foundation for the Vision First report that came out and kind of mentioned the next steps into moving into a better economic development driver for the city as a whole. One of the biggest things that we discussed was replacing the president, because it had just turned over when we actually started meeting for this task force. So that was a big point of contention, right? And we kind of paused on it. The decision was almost unanimous to kind of pause on replacing that president until we get an idea of how economic development should be structured for the city as a whole. I think we're at the point now where we have dragged it on a little far enough that we do need to replace it and have that person help us restructure economic development as a whole. So it needs to happen soon. I'm not privy to a lot of the conversations that happened in executive sessions with the RDA and with the city as to why none of the candidates were sufficient. I trust their judgment, of course, but it does need to get resolved sooner rather than later.
You know, there was a lot of conversations here over the last 18 months, but you bring up a point that I think may have gotten lost in the conversations because I had the task force, then there was Vision First, then there was the recommendation to ultimately do away with Emporia Enterprises and then start shifting responsibilities for the chamber, Visit Emporia, and Emporia Main Street. Foundationally, as a task force member, were you sold on the Vision First vision that came out of that and ultimately led to the changes that we saw earlier this year?
Yeah, I think the majority of their recommendations I was in favor for, and it was really just an expansion of what our original recommendations were for the task force. I put together about a 3-page document saying my ideal economic development driver and what that looks like for the city. And it's very, very similar to the Vision First. Vision First just kind of goes into more detail. You know, it was a 40-page report. Mine was a little 3-page.
It was a pretty lengthy report, yeah.
Right. It was a big one. But I do overall agree with it. I think what was probably missing, and this is no fault to their own, what's probably missing is just understanding the historical background and the personalities involved and just how each organization actually meshes with each other. That's tough to grasp when you're only coming in and doing, I think it was about a 3-month turnaround that they had for this report. So I think some of those nuances are missing from that report, and that's the only thing I'd add.
And it brings up a point that it did seem that there was some friction, at least from the outside looking in, at how things unfolded before the structure was indeed set, where you had the different groups specifically adding ESU, adding Flint Hills Technical College, increasing the voting representation as well. There was a little bit of friction, I think, that took place. Do you see that as resolved now as you look at how this overall economic development wing in general terms can help the city, or do you still see some frictions that are possibly in place and could possibly slow things down a little more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be resolved and have a bow put on it because it's already voted. I mean, ESU representation is there. The Tech College representation is there. It's not like we're going to go back. So the thing that all economic development entities need to realize is that this is the structure moving forward, and so we've just got to play within those bounds.
Is that the right structure, you think? Especially given the fact that Emporia Enterprises is still kind of in limbo, at least this is the way that I understand it.
Yeah, I think that it's a step in the right direction.
Okay.
Do not think it's the full picture, but that full picture needs to be decided by all entities coming to the table and agreeing on what that structure is. Because here's the thing. If you are asking all of these entities to work together and collaborate, it's not going to happen if even one isn't bought in, right? So we need buy-in from all of the organizations, from Emporia Main Street, the Chamber, Enterprises, the City, RDA. All of these drivers need to be on the same page, so that way we can move forward.
One other question here. It's actually a 2-part question. I apologize. I'm good at these 2-part questions. Everybody knows it. But one of the things that hasn't been brought up in a significant period of time is the initial Vision First recommendation was that the RDA take over, or at least be the umbrella organization for Emporia's economic development. Do you believe that's the right play? And dovetailing off of that, really, what business sectors should the RDA concentrate its efforts on here over the next, say, 3 to 5 years as this restructuring germinates and takes effect?
Yeah, that's a fastball question. That's high and tight.
I was afraid you would say that.
But no, it's a good question. So my report that I presented to the task force, again, it was a very similar to Vision First. I agreed that all entities probably should come under one EIN number, under one entity, and then departmentalize efforts like tourism, small business relations, large industry relations. So keep it all under the same roof, under a unified vision. However, departmentalize the different efforts that accomplish that main priority, that main mission. Whether RDA was the entity that kind of umbrellas everyone, that's a big question. That's a question that, again, I think all entities that would essentially be dissolved into this one entity, that's something that everyone needs to come together and agree on, because if you don't get agreement, then you just get dissent from within and the structure's not going to work. I think it's probably a good place to start exploring, you know, but it takes more than just one conversation or one of my opinions to make that decision. I think it's a collaborative effort.
Aaron Larson joining us again. This is the City Commission Candidate Spotlight. You're listening to KVUE Live and Local.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
The RV Doc is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV Doc is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV Doc for an appointment today. 342-0702. 342-0702. And get winterized.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
Candidate Spotlight continuing on KVUE and KVUE.com here today. Aaron Larson, City Commission candidate, our Spotlight feature here today. We've already talked in a large realm here in our first segment about a good chunk of economic development, whether it's property taxes or the interrelationships for economic development between the RDA, Main Street, Chamber, Visit Emporia, and the city. Now we start going into another economic development topic, and that's housing. And we've got one project recently taken off the board, Kretzinger, in South Emporia. You have Metropolis in East Emporia. You have Lockwood in Southwest Emporia that are underway, have houses, I think, for Metropolis, for sure, in the ground, and getting close to getting some houses, I think, over at Lockwood. And then you have Cedarbrook Meadows in Northwest Emporia, which is still pending at this point in time. What is the need that you're seeing for, say, new homes or apartments now versus, I guess, let's take it about a year ago?
Yeah, so affordable housing looks different for everybody. And I think a lot of people get hung up on this term, affordable housing. Affordable housing is not just one set price for what an affordable house is. Affordable housing is the ability for residents in a certain geographical area to buy homes. So if a lot of your residents are missing out on homes and they're first-time homebuyers, or let's say new income or low income residents who can't maybe establish a line of credit, a loan to finance a house, then you're looking at needing small homes, right? Small
sure.
homes for single families. If you're in an area, a geographical area where families are growing, then you're going to need larger homes, and those are in the, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 range. So a dollar range is not set towards affordable housing. I wanted to make that clear because that doesn't seem to be well known.
I think a lot of people look at, you know, and it was the original or long held standard, $100,000 mm-hmm. up until maybe about what, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Then it went up to 150. And I think a lot of people still have sticker shock when they go out there, and a lot of these prices are now at 300 plus,
yeah.
not just locally, but nationwide.
Yeah, absolutely. And so affordable housing looks different for every community. For Emporia, it's who is having trouble buying houses? Are we needing to build houses for families? Are we needing to build multifamily units? Are we needing to build smaller units for people who are just starting out in their new career, their new jobs? You know, as far as what developments need to take place in Emporia for new housing, it's really about focusing on what developments are going to be self-sustaining with their own property taxes. Not only self-sustaining, but also generating enough of a surplus with their property taxes that they can also pay for ancillary services, services like emergency services, ambulatory services and whatnot, mm-hmm. Services like snow removal and you know, all the other services that are provided to community members, you can't only look at the infrastructure that is getting people from their neighborhood to their driveway. You also have to look at those ancillary services.
Do you see the housing demand as robust now as it was even last year, or, you know, over the last 7 to 10 years, when it seemed like you put a house on the market and within 36 hours somebody had put money down and started claiming it?
Yeah, I think that it's probably slowed down a little bit, and I know that interest rates are going down. I you know, you can look at housing in two different ways. You can look at them from the national perspective, and then you can look at it in your immediate community perspective. And I think our community perspective is probably a little bit skewed this year with the Tyson closure and really several other plants closing. So our community perspective on the housing environment right now, I think, is a little bit skewed just based on all of the layoffs that have happened this year.
Okay. I got a two-part question, yep, but I'm going to let you answer the first part first this time, as opposed to what I did in the first segment. Should the city focus maybe more on new development versus infill?
I've always been a fan of infill and working with the Emporia Land Bank and other NGOs. I think this is the big important part. Working with NGOs that do infill projects, and, you know, your Habitat for Humanity is the, you know, big one that everyone kind of understands. But there are other NGOs that are interested in doing this kind of property development and mainly infill. I'm always focused on infill for the first point that I made here about housing, in that when we expand infrastructure, we're building new roads that need to be maintained. We're building new sidewalks, curbs, streetlights that all need to be maintained. When you focus on infill lots, that's infrastructure that is already in place and already being maintained. So focusing on infill means that we are not, it means that we're diluting the property tax burden for our residents if we can get people in a lot that's now not developed, develop it, get someone on there, because we just haven't expanded our expenses with expanding infrastructure.
Right. There's so much interest and emphasis that's put on, I think, the new. A question on the flip side of that is, how do you make infill attractive? Because it does seem that aside from, you know, like three or four lots here, you know, you have maybe two here, four to six over here in this particular neighborhood, it's hard to get some sort of traction for infill developments, especially. You're not going to have an infill development the same scope or the same size as a Metropolis or Cedarbrook Meadows at this point in time.
Yeah, for sure. The biggest thing that you've got to realize with infill is that it's reducing your property tax burden across the board, because we're using existing infrastructure. That's the most attractive thing about it. Now, I understand when you look at a picture of an infill house, it's probably not going to look as attractive as a massive 120-house development on brand new green space. But the reality is that you have to look at that 120-house development. Let's use Cedarbrook Meadows as an example. You have to look at that development and realize the second it goes up, that's the best it'll ever look. From there on, it will continue to deteriorate, and you have to maintain that deterioration, right? So new development looks great at the start, you know, the first year, first 5 years. After that, it will continue to deteriorate. You continue to maintain it. Infill has already kind of deteriorated its infrastructure, at least, to the point where it's not brand new, right? And we've been maintaining it for years. That's the real beauty of infill, is that you're spreading out that property tax burden by not building new infrastructure.
Can the city make it easier for infill developers to get some projects in front of commissioners for a decision and then ultimately get to work?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question. And we were fortunate enough as candidates to go speak to the Emporia Land Bank about this. The million-dollar question is, why are developers developing these massive plots of land on green space, and in Cedarbrook Meadows' case, paying for the infrastructure that's going to go on there, paying for the initial payment for the infrastructure? Why are they more willing to do that instead of just a one or two off infill lot? That's a question that needs to be answered by developers. And so what I think would be a great next step, I can't answer that question for you. What would be a great next step is next year, getting together some type of task force or some type of group made up of developers, real estate developers, construction workers, our code services, and policy makers here in town, getting them all in one room and saying, how can we move the needle on infill development? Because that's how we're going to impact affordable housing and reduce property taxes.
One more question here on housing before we shift over here to the 0.5% sales tax is what you see is the relationship between the city and the Planning Commission. And this came up into focus here earlier this year with Cedarbrook Meadows, yeah, and specifically with lot sizes. Do you see that there are some conversations maybe just specifically on lot sizes that need to be kind of revisited? Or do you see maybe a larger conversation here about some of the discussions that have been in place between the two entities?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a per project discussion that you need to have. I don't think that there's a minimum maximum lot size that you need to consider for every single development that pops up, but it is it's a big question, because the more condensed you have a development, the less infrastructure you're going to need to build, or the more houses you can put on infrastructure, which increases your, which dilutes the property tax on people. So looking at lot sizes is probably the number one thing that I would do if I'm looking at a new development. And the Zoning Commission already does a good job at looking at those lot sizes.
Okay. Aaron Larson again joining us here with our candidate spotlight. Our final topic here is the 0.5% sales tax, which has been discussed by city commissioners, brand new, if this does wind up getting passed later. Basic question to get us started is this something that you would favor the city should, if nothing else, consider something new, this 0.5% sales tax for in general terms or specific projects?
So the 0.5% sales tax is a tough pill to swallow, just because you're really taking the burden from increasing property tax, and you're shifting it over to a sales tax price for our residents. You really have to consider that. You might be generating more revenue for the city, and you can keep those property taxes the same, or it could just look like increased property taxes and no sales tax increase. So we've really got to chew on that and decide what's the better route. As far as if a sales tax, if a 0.5% sales tax was proposed and a specific project was on my mind, I would go back to downtown development. And that's specifically on economic development and getting more businesses downtown. It grinds my gears driving up and down downtown and there's an empty building and with no one in there. That's money that we're losing because a storefront isn't in there selling a good or service and collecting sales tax. I would really like to see our downtown be filled and people from out of town coming in and spending their money here. And it's not, you know, I hear a lot of flack about attracting tourism. Emporia is not a tourist destination. No one's going to come here from out of town. It's not about, you know, creating the seventh wonder of the world here in Emporia, Chuck. It's about getting people in Admire. Instead of going up to Topeka to shop, they come down to Emporia to shop. They're about halfway. And so making that decision, it's about getting the surrounding communities to come in, spend their money here, because we're offering more goods, more services out of more small businesses downtown.
Besides downtown, what other projects would you see as agreeable for you to possibly have a 0.5% sales tax? If it is winding up being a project specific tax increase here,
I would love to see some type of water infrastructure improvement project go underway. Water infrastructure is an issue that several cities across America are dealing with right now. Water infrastructure was put in place several decades ago, if not over a century ago, and they're crumbling under the ground, right? So a public works project that focuses directly on water infrastructure, I think would be a really good investment to reduce our property taxes long term. I mean, we're talking about creating new infrastructure that reduces your property tax long term because less maintenance.
Okay. Now, would that be water only, or would that be storm sewer, the whole nine yards, or just maybe different components with that? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get the vision here.
Yeah, it would be the whole nine yards. Really, okay. Really, it's a public. Ideally, I'd want to focus on a public works project that reduces long-term maintenance and reduces that property tax, those property taxes increase that we are going to see down the road because maintenance costs just continue to rise. So any type of public works project that focuses on improving maintenance down the road.
Okay. Aaron, for folks that would like more information about your campaign and they're interested in what you've got as what you bring to the table, how do they get that information from you?
Yep. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok reluctantly at Larson4Emporia. That's F-O-R Emporia. And you can shoot me a DM if you want to sit down and grab some more coffee, or you can just go through all my content and see what I'm about.
Outstanding. Aaron, best of luck. Thank you for joining us here today, and looking forward to talking with you as the campaign continues.
Yep. Thanks, Chuck.
Our candidate spotlight with Aaron Larson, wrapping up this hour here on KVOE Live and Local.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial, repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.